We all know your time is valuable. Whether you're hyper-focused on admin tasks like notes and billing, or simply trying to make a cup of coffee, or even run to the bathroom in between appointments, constant interruptions can derail your day. This podcast is sponsored by The Receptionist for iPad, a digital check-in system that eliminates the need to walk back and forth from your office to the waiting room to see if your next appointment has arrived. Clients can securely check in for their appointments, and you'll be immediately notified by text, email, or your preferred channel. Break free from interruptions and make the most of your time. I've been using them for almost 3 years now, and it saves me hours in my week. Start a 14-day free trial of The Receptionist for iPad by going to thereceptionist.com/private practice. Make sure to start your trial with that link, and you'll also get your first month free if you decide to sign up. Hey everyone, welcome back to All Things Private Practice. I am joined today by Nicole McCants, who's been here before and is now back to talk about her five-step scaling method. And I'm going to let her introduce herself because I hate intros and she likes them. So take it away.
Thanks for having me. Really good to see you again, by the way. Yes. Yeah, so I built a group practice kind of by surprise, and I feel like the listeners might relate to that. I know that you do. Mm-hmm. I was in private practice for 15 years, loved what I did, couples all day long, EMDR, love it. And then I just became honestly kind of sick of hitting the ceiling in my income and burnt out. Yeah. And then I became pregnant with twins. And mm-hmm. I remember thinking, oh gosh, we need a bigger house. Like, I didn't expect this. What do I do?
Sure.
And I knew at that point I needed to hire. I don't know for you if there was like a moment where you're like, I need to hire. But guess what I did? Nothing, because I didn't know what to do. So I feel like if you don't know the first step, you feel frozen. And anyone listening, like, I get you. They were 2 years old when I finally scaled, but I figured it out with a series of multiple business coaches and was able to scale it with Jackson and Lucas at home to 55 therapists in just 3 years. And then eventually a psychiatrist, not a private equity firm, just to be clear, a psychiatrist wanted to buy it, and they're in really good hands. So I let it go and sold it for multiple seven figures, 2022. And now teach people how to do all of that.
It's definitely impressive. I remember your story and like talking about it. And, you know, I don't think I ever anticipated hiring at all. I never really wanted to, if I'm being honest. And I think the story is a bit different in that regard because my friend just kept like pestering me to hire him during the pandemic. And I was like, dude, I teach people how to start their businesses. I'll do it for free. And he was just like, no, I want support and community and not have to do the business side of things. And I was just like, okay, I guess you're going to be the guinea pig because I have no idea what I'm doing aside from like a few checklists that are like circulating out there and some other stuff. And I'm like, I don't know how to be a boss. And here we are 4 years later with 25 clinicians. So it's definitely been an interesting ride.
That's a testament to who you are, that somebody's like, no, you, I want to work with you. And you're like, are you sure?
It was a bit daunting, you know, because I'm responsible for other people's livelihoods. So that's one part that I still to this day, present day, do not enjoy.
Yeah.
Is like keeping it afloat for everyone else's sake. I'm like, I would rather just be on my own doing my own thing. So good leadership team in place makes a world of difference. Anyway, so you're going to talk about your five-step method to scaling. And I'd love to hear more about that because I'm sure those who are listening who are in group practice as ownership are probably contemplating selling every day. And I think it would be really, there would not be transparency if you were thinking like, I never think about selling my practice. And I know there's a lot of emotion that comes with that, guilt, shame, all the things. But in reality, burnout is real and group practices are assets. And I see too many people kind of say like, I'm just going to wipe my hands of it. It's either run itself into the ground or it's not profitable or I'm just so burnt out, I can't handle it. And they let it go. And that's also really unfortunate too.
Yes. And this is actually why I put together the five-step scaling method. Because when I sold, I vividly remember sitting by my pool, retired now, like officially, you know, I left my regulatory board and being like, what do I do? You know, I went for a swim and then I just was like, now what do I do? And I really just wanted to help people. And I said, you know what? I'll give them the map of how I did it so fast. But also, what is different about how I did it is it did run without me with a good leadership team. And that's really key and part of the five steps. And then it's an asset that is revenue generating that is running without you. And so a buyer is going to say, wait a minute, if it runs without you, then it's worth something.
Right.
And for everyone listening, even if right now you're thinking, gosh, I couldn't imagine ever selling, maybe they think that like, gosh, you know, it feels like so far, but build it to sell. Just build it to sell. And that's called freedom. So I'll go into the five steps. Okay.
Sure.
And then you can ask me kind of any questions. So the key step one, what you just alluded to, is a lot of people just fall into this. So step one is before you hire, first systemize your operations. Because what happens, because step two is hire your dream team. If you hire first, you will not be a CEO. You will be a CQA, chief question answerer, which is exhausting. And that's every day when you're like, oh my gosh, this isn't what I chose. So that's step one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes sense. You know, like, and I think a lot of people do it that way where, and I know I did it that way because I didn't expect to do this. And it was figuring a lot out as I went. And I think that leads to a lot of exhaustion when you are constantly not only answering other people's questions, but solving problems you didn't expect to have or solving, you know, putting out fires on a daily basis. You're like, this is not what I had envisioned.
Exactly. This is not freedom at all, right? Like I've bought myself a bit of a job. So, and what does that actually mean? So systemize your operations means getting everything out of your head. That's really key. And we live in a world with Google Drive and Loom, which is a video recorder. If you don't know Loom, Google it, loom.com. Where, and even as you grow, new questions will come because as you scale, there's different problems. But here's the thing, the moment you answer it, you're going to train your admin to like, where do you go to find all, like you should never answer the same question twice.
Right.
You create the manuals. And this is what I give people in my program. Like, here's all the manuals, the handbooks. Step one. Step two, and this is the fun part. This is where you hire your dream team. But here's the thing, and I wonder if you feel this. This is a work marriage. Like, be picky. You're going to spend a whole lot. This is your reputation that you're literally saying, I met you on Indeed 5 minutes ago. Oh my gosh, this feels really overwhelming. So having a certain way to hire is really key.
Super important. And something I've talked about multiple times on here and elsewhere with Maureen Warbach of the Group Practice Exchange of like how to hire your leadership team, because too often I see, and I've been guilty of this myself, of promoting people into leadership roles because they're good at one thing, but you don't really have the role defined or you don't really have the expectations defined. And then you find that the people you're putting into administration are not really the right fits for whatever reason. And it's really hard to walk that back once that's happened. So really being able to hire your dream team is super important.
Yes. And I actually have a 6-step hiring model. Do not hire anybody until they go through all 6 steps. And that includes like a personality test, a strengths assessment, a working interview. I defined, we usually just do 1 step, maybe 2. Interview, references, you're hired.
Yep.
And hiring the wrong person is the biggest headache. So that is step 2. Then you build your dream team. But let's get to the fun part. Step 3, here's where we attract clients with digital marketing. Now, I love digital marketing because I was so busy and had no time and was already burnt out. I didn't really have a lot in me at that point with the twins to go and network and do all the things.
Yep.
So I will tell you, those who have reached 7 figures in my program, they all use Google Ads. Now, a lot of people say Google Ads don't work. You're just doing it wrong. Or your website isn't branded enough. But Google Ads, advertising works. That's what every big brand does. You need to advertise.
Yeah, advertising is crucial, right? Like, if we're sitting here having this conversation and anyone listening, even if you're in solo private practice and you're like, but it's not for me. It feels salesy. I don't know how to market. It feels like, you know, I don't really know how to do that. I didn't learn that in grad school. For the most part, I would imagine 99% of us who are mental health entrepreneurs did not learn this in grad school. But you can learn it now and you can also delegate, and it makes a world of difference. And what I find to be the biggest issue when we talk about Google Ads and SEO and web design, Google wants everything to sync up, right? Like, it wants your Google My Business, your Google Ads, your website. Everything has to be in like side by side, syncing up together. And far too often I see like a really basic, shitty website with no content, no landing pages, Google ads that point to things that maybe your website doesn't really accurately reflect. And then all of a sudden it's like, of course, we're just throwing money into this pit.
Yeah.
And it can feel like a lot of hopelessness and a lot of frustration once that happens.
Yes. And I think the key is not doing it yourself, please. You're so good at talking about feelings. You're such an amazing therapist. Stay in your lane and hire a good marketing agency. I find even like something as basic as your keyword needs to go to your specialty page on that thing. So when I click on anxiety, but you send me to a random page, when you confuse, you lose, I bounce. So make sure you send them to the matching page, right? Yep. Just small things. 100%. So that's number three. Number four, a lot of people miss. We're so hungry for marketing, but they're not a client yet. They're just at your website. But now is when you want to convert. What is your conversion rate? A good conversion rate with your team is about 70%. Yours is probably going to be higher, but aim for 70. If you're higher, high five. But number four is convert clients with consult calls. I love free consult calls. They should be about 20 minutes, I think, because the first 15 is building rapport. I give like a whole script of how to have people move. Because as a side note, we are selling something that's called sit with your pain. People actually don't want to do that. They don't want to do that, right? So how do we guide them to actually give them like the result that they want? But the last 5 minutes is where you book multiple sessions, get the credit card, because I teach private pay. And go over the cancellation policy. So a lot of people, their conversion rate is low just because the consult call is too short. That's all it is. Add an extra 5 minutes.
Yep. And now we are going to take a quick break to thank our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Alma. When I first decided to go in network with insurance, I found the whole process overwhelming. I can actually remember a couple of days that made me want to cry, where I spent hours on the phone being transferred or hung up on, or not giving clear answers or instructions. I knew I needed to get paid, and I also knew that I didn't know if I could do this by myself. If you're running into those same challenges, Alma can help. They made it easy to get credentialed a lot faster, handled all of the paperwork, and offered way better rates than I could have gotten on my own. They also make sure I get reimbursed within 2 weeks of every session so that I know when I'm getting paid. Visit helloalma.com/ATPP to learn more. That's helloalma.com/ATPP. Hey everyone, it's Patrick with All Things Private Practice, and I just want to invite you to join us in Scotland for our second Doubt Yourself, Do It Anyway Summit that's happening July 14th to the 17th of 2025. We have 12 amazing speakers, 12 MBC CEs available in Edinburgh, Scotland, which is one of the most beautiful places I've ever been in my life. The link is in my show notes and on my website at allthingspractice.com. You can also join us in Greece in September if you're a leader or wanting to start a group practice. We have a leadership retreat happening on the island of Crete from September 6th to the 11th. Honestly, one of the most beautiful villages I've ever been to in Hania. And then in 2026, we have limited spots available in two different New Zealand retreats. One is for neurodivergent entrepreneurs, March 1st to the 8th of 2026. And then beyond private practice, moving beyond one-on-one therapy, creating alternative streams of income. That's March 15th to the 22nd, 2026 in Queenstown, New Zealand. Check the links. Doubt yourself. Do it anyway.
Yeah. And I think that another issue I see when I was doing private practice coaching is people don't ask for the conversion. It's more like, okay, so that's how therapy works, or that's how I work. Okay, let me know if you want to schedule at some point. And that's the end of the phone call. Instead of saying, hey, when's the next, my next available session is on Monday at 10 a.m. And I would always teach people to say like, what email address do you want me to send the paperwork to and get this started? So really just being more direct on the call, because they're calling you for a reason. They've reached out to you for a reason, right? They've already kind of done some of the diligence and like work and heavy lifting. So I think that's important as well.
Yes. And I know it's hard for people because that feels pushy or salesy, but here's the thing. What if they're depressed? They lack the motivation. They need you to be a guide, to hold their hand, to literally, what we sell is have a better life. I would sell that all day long. There are people selling things that are not as great, that thousands of things, you know, that we see bombarded with. Like, I feel like we need to take a stand for people to actually do more therapy. Wouldn't the world be different if we pushed therapy more?
Yeah, it would be helpful if it was pushed more and more accessible to everyone. So it would be different for sure.
Yeah. And number five is retention. Don't forget, guys, retention. Yep. You did the consult call. They're now a client. On that call, you actually booked 4 sessions, because I say if they commit, I don't know if you noticed this, Patrick, but when they committed to a certain day and time, then they just showed up to multiple sessions for the, like, they're just way more likely to be retained because yeah. they've built their life around that session, right?
Yeah, I think we also just really struggle as mental health therapists, like, with the scheduling component. So it can get really lost, you know, where you might have a session and then leave it open-ended of like, all right, let me know if you want to come back at some point or when you want to come back. And then you schedule other things. And then it becomes like a game of Tetris to fit people into your schedule.
Yes.
And I like having more of a like regimented approach to that, because my brain just works better in those settings. So easier for me, easier for clients to remember, like, oh, I come every Tuesday at 4 is a hell of a lot easier than like, text me next week and we'll see what we can do or when I can get you in.
Exactly. Cancellation is going to go down. Yeah. Obviously, the results are going to be better because they've committed. And if you can book even more than 4, I find 4 is like easy to digest when they just meet you, and then you can book the rest of the treatment plan. But step 5, retain clients with follow-ups. Mm-hmm. Are you following up? We were just never taught that. Like, follow up with those people who no-show or cancel. Follow up with those people who don't book on the consult that said they were going to check insurance or talk to their spouse. And even follow up with those who ghost you because they were triggered, they went on that vacation and you never heard about them or you heard from them again. And the beautiful thing about this, what I love, Patrick, is a lot of this your admin can do. Your admin's following up, not you. Your therapists are doing the consults because you're building the business in the background.
Yeah, for sure. No, follow-up is huge. And I think about so often like how all people forget that reaching out to a therapist for the first time is a really vulnerable experience. And sometimes that is like the step for someone, right? So they might build up the courage, or they might be in such a bad place that they're finally like, I'm going to reach out for therapy. And then they do it and they're like, ooh, that was really daunting or intimidating, or like, ooh, that was a relief that I did the thing. And ultimately that no longer feels as much of a priority at the moment. So following up is huge, and you do capture and convert more when you are doing these things, for sure.
Yes, 20% more, actually. So research shows just by following up, you increase sessions, clients by 20%. And this is like not industry specific. This is just like all industries. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 100%. So great steps and strategies. It sounds like you've got a lot of formulas and templates and steps in your coaching program. So I always like to hear that, because I think that works well for a lot of people. Anything that we've missed in this conversation that feels like really important that you want to share with people who are listening?
I feel that a lot of people are afraid to be a boss. You know, it's just like group practice is next level. Starting your private practice is, oh gosh, I'm a business owner. But then group practice is, oh gosh, I'm a boss. Yep. And a couple of things for me, it was less intimidating because I was a baby boss. And so I hired baby therapists. I actually started with interns. If you live in California, you can't hire interns. So double check where you live. And pre-qualifying, because that just felt like, you know what? It was less intimidating. So know that there's certain ways where this could be easy, and just hire one, just one.
No.
Don't think, like, honestly, Patrick, if you were to tell me, Nicole, one day you would have 55 therapists, I would look at you and laugh. It wasn't like, I didn't plan that. It's just one step in front of the other and working with someone who's done it before, because there's 100 mistakes that they will save you from.
100%. Yeah. And there's a reason the same questions get asked in all of the Facebook groups and all of social media posts, because it's anyone who's entering into this world, you know, there's going to be a lot of unknown and uncertainty and discomfort. So having some support and guidance is crucial. Good conversation, good tips, good strategies. And Nicole has all of these downloadable resources and freebies. So we'll have that in the show notes too. Nicole, tell people where they can find you on your podcast and at your website and everything else you've got going on.
Yeah, the best place to find me if you love podcasts, which I'm assuming you do, would be my podcast, The Business Savvy Therapist. And if you want to hang out live, I do have a weekly masterclass, How to Build a Seven-Figure Group Practice.
Sweet. And we'll have all of that in the show notes so you have easy access to all of those links and information. And Nicole, thanks for coming on again and making the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
To everyone listening to All Things Private Practice, new episodes are out on Saturdays on all major platforms and YouTube. You can like, download, subscribe, and share. Doubt yourself. Do it anyway. We'll see you next week.